If all art is truly subjective, then it's fitting that a new exhibition at Arcata's The Sanctuary is titled Subjective Realities. It's a group exhibition of sculptural works by students from College of the Redwoods and Humboldt State University. These students have been brought together by CR art lecturer and HSU Sculpture Lab technician Benjamin Funke, who also will display work in the exhibit. The artists are exploring three-dimensional design across a wide range of media. A reception for the artists will be this Friday, May 12th, during Arts Arcata, 6 to 9 p.m., and the show will continue through the end of June. My guests are Benjamin Funke and two of the student artists, Cody Barnes, who is a student at HSU, and Carissa Clark, who is a student at CR. Is there a theme that unites the works that are presented in this exhibition?
Most definitely. The works are all about contemporary sculpture. These are all sculpture students that are going to be exhibiting, and that's the linkage. We wanted to have the show have a kind of a broad title, and we felt that the subjective realities was something that could be applied to each person's own viewpoint and still have, you know, room to play with, you know, interpretation. The thing that ties us all together is that I've worked with these students in one capacity or another, whether they've been a direct student of mine or worked in the lab at HSU. That's the main linkage. The people at the sanctuary, Cyrus and Rory, their art directors there, they had asked me to basically do a solo exhibition and then curate a student show to go along with it. And when I obviously flattered by the opportunity, when I responded, I said, how would they feel if I kind of incorporated it more as a group exhibition where they would be showing alongside of my work as opposed to being two separate entities, and one in one gallery and one in the other. And they were very much in support of that idea.
The sanctuary, am I also thinking of the same place where we have, where there are live performances, like music performances as well?
That is correct.
I hadn't thought of the sanctuary. I have not visited the sanctuary yet, but I hadn't remembered or thought of it as a place where we have visual art exhibitions as well.
Mm-hmm. Carissa can speak more to that. She's okay. a volunteer at the sanctuary.
Carissa, I would love you to do that, because then from there we're going to segue into all of you working to prepare the layout and curating this exhibition.
Great.
So go ahead.
Yeah, I've been involved with the sanctuary for the past 3 years. And actually, your own Brooks Otis, I like to call the grandfather of the sanctuary, because he has been really supportive of the community there. It's a neighborhood center. It's a community art space. And we do offer the second official art gallery of Arcata. Umpqua Bank, as far as I know, is the only other art gallery in town. But we like to make art a full experience there. And so this evening, the opening of the Subjective Realities show is going to be very much an experience of visual arts, musical arts, culinary arts, and it's going to use the space to its fullest, I believe. But we have music shows, we have theater events, we have
workshops,
mm-hmm. We have drop-in time that on Saturdays that people can use the tools and art making resources.
Is the sanctuary an official nonprofit?
We are. We became a nonprofit just over a year ago, and we're officially the Creative Sanctuary is the nonprofit title.
All right. So Carissa, so starting with you, first of all, everyone here in this room, well, everybody in this exhibition is exhibiting sculpture.
That's correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Carissa, what work or more than one are you exhibiting?
I'm going to be installing a piece in the smaller gallery space on the ceiling. It's a very tall-ceilinged building.
A sculpture on the ceiling.
Uh-huh. It's going to be an installation with fabric. you can calm your fears of earthquakes and such. It will be lightweight, but it will be large and kind of inspired by the movement of water and clouds. And it's going to be, I just want to transform the space a little bit. And so just the square angles that I'm used to looking at in there.
So you're going to have a room all to yourself?
No, just the ceiling.
The ceiling is all yours. And so is the goal here to have people walk through it, be enveloped in it somehow?
Yeah, it probably will. I haven't installed it yet, but it will not, it's not going to interrupt the passageway of people walking, but it will come down to, maybe 7 or 6 feet.
Are there going to be figures or drawings or something on it that are that will remind us of a specific person or place, or is it very abstract?
It's going to be more of an abstract piece.
Is this unusual for you doing fabric, or is that really what it is you prefer to do?
It's fairly unusual, but it is a reincarnation of a piece that I made last year. So it's not the first time I've worked with this fabric, but I'm exploring softer sculpture because I like working large, and it's not always easy to do metal and wood and ceramic on such a large scale. Those are my more comfortable mediums.
And Cody, what are you going to be exhibiting?
I have a few different pieces that I plan on showing. One is a talking board, like a Ouija board, that I made myself with wood, out of wood and paint on the board. Sorry. The planchette, like the reader that you move around, is I made in the jewelry lab here, and that's brass and patina. So it's patinaed brass that's cut out and etched.
Is this inviting people to touch it or move something on it? Or?
Yeah, that's part of the experience I want to have. I'm going to have gloves there so that people can wear and they can actually play the board while they're there. So it's going to be a very interactive piece for people to sit down, play with, and take their time with and just...
You said Ouija board, as in what tells the future?
Yeah, like when, board? Yeah, like the, yeah.
Well, can you tell more about what the concept is here?
I guess I've always just had like a fascination with like the occult and darker things. And I ran across a Ouija board that was like store-bought. I think Parker Brothers or something makes them. And it just looked very plasticky and, you know, shiny coated and didn't really look dark enough, I would say, dark or evil enough. So I wanted to make my own. That's just like, it's a really rugged, like, I tore this board up, torched it, and then stained it black, the wood, before I painted on it. So it's very dark, and I don't know, it's more of like an evil dark board instead of like a store bought.
It looks
crispy,
like it's been
clean.
It looks like it's been salvaged out of a fire or something like that. Yeah. Like it's,
is it big?
It's like about the same size as the ones from like the store. It's like maybe 2 by 1.5 feet or 1 foot by 2 feet, something like that. I didn't really measure it, but it's yeah, definitely like game board size board.
And you said you have another work in the exhibit?
I have a few other pieces that I'm not sure which ones are going to go up, but they all have to do with process that I've been learning this past semester. It was my first semester really going into depth into the sculpture lab here at HSU and taking advantage of what we do have. And I've just been making molds of different things and casting different resins and plastics and
expandable foams.
Yeah. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just all kinds of really ooey gooey, creepy plastic, gnarly. I don't.
Don't forget evil.
Yeah. Pretty dark. Yeah. I have some butcher knives that I casted and they're pretty weird looking in the different resins we have, and they're all crusty, crunchy, plasticky knives.
You should put those at the snack buffet. Yeah. for the art opening.
And Ben, mm-hmm. You're also exhibiting something in it.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, what is it that you're putting in?
I've got a couple of different works that are going to be in this show. The majority of the works on the floor will be steel
painted steel pieces. I've been really influenced by just formalism and looking at shapes and just kind of working more process-oriented, I guess, and less about huge concepts. I'd been doing more conceptual work for the last, I don't know, 12 years or so. And
is it big? Or the
works, no, they're mostly pretty small, actually.
Like
table sized, yeah. But there's several of them. The largest one is about 4 foot by 4 foot, and the rest are much smaller. Then there's going to be two vinyl, decommissioned billboards. So there would be a vinyl tarp, essentially, with grommets. And those are going to be installed on the walls, which the space is gigantic. It's like a 65-foot wall. And I wanted to have something that was it wouldn't get lost. It would be dominating on the space. And these large, decommissioned billboards are going to be treated as just formal objects. So using gravity to help pull the weight down and creating form within that space, just using gravity and the installation. The other piece, the last piece I just finished last night, is a video. They have a projector and video screen at the sanctuary, and when I saw that, I was like, "Ooh, I should definitely utilize this." I have a background in video art, and so I wanted to really take advantage of the opportunity to do that. I have also considered changing the position of the projector to use it on the ceiling, but we'll see once I get into the space and see how that looks. Because we have to keep in mind that all the other works need to have light to view, and so if you're projecting image in a light space, it might not read as well as it could.
Right, and it creates shadows and
exactly,
and kind of distracts.
Right. So it might just stay on the video on the projection screen, which is fine, but it's still in a location where it's going to be quite large on the space.
A video of what?
It's basically just color fields. There is content in it, but it's just kind of secondary. I'm looking at moving fields of color, using halftone dots, the same type of printing method that you would see in the newspaper. If you use a magnifying glass, it's just made up of a bunch of printed dots. So using video filters in that way to just shift color patterns and make it more about a hypnotic piece as opposed to being content-driven.
Benjamin Funky. Also here are Cody Barnes and Carissa Clark. All three are participants in Subjective Realities, sculptural works on display at the Sanctuary in Arcata. The exhibit opens this Friday during Arts Arcata and continues through June. I'm Wendy Butler, and you're listening to Art Waves on KHSU. I want to talk about how you, is it just Carissa and Cody who are helping do layout and installation, or do you have a number of this list of students that I'm looking at? So you have quite a few students.
I believe it's 17 in total, 17 students, and including and myself.
Is this the first time? Well, since we have two of them here, is this the first time, Carissa, Cody, that you've been involved in a process where you've had to do promotion, installation, curation, layout, where you've been, basically been involved in behind the scenes preparing an exhibition? Cody?
It is for me. This is the first time I've done anything like this, and I feel like it's very helpful. I mean, especially being an artist outside, I'm going to have to do all this and figure it all out. And doing shows like this with somebody that already has a background that's done a lot of shows and set up like Ben, I feel is going to be very helpful.
How about you, Carissa?
No, this is not my first time. I was a student at Arcata Arts Institute at Arcata High, and they do some really wonderful training. So, and then I worked there for a year, and then I did kind of an informal residency exhibition that was 3 months, ending in a large exhibition in Honduras, and then I've worked at the sanctuary for the last 3 years, where we've been having gallery shows and exhibitions that I've participated in as an artist and promoter and curator and installer and deinstaller and all the things. But it's the first time that I've been invited to participate in a show at the sanctuary by someone else. So that was really novel, and it's been really nice having how much Ben has taken this, and he's pulling a lot of weight and getting everyone really amped up for it. It's going to be really good.
I can speak to this as well. One of my main goals for this opportunity was to give the students as much control as possible. I feel like this opportunity doesn't come up often, and that I needed to seize the moment to make sure that they had as much of a voice in this as they wanted. I selected these students because I believe that they have the potential to continue on in the field, to continue on as artists, and I want them to be involved with this as much as they want to. They can get out of this as much as they want to put in. And so when I opened this opportunity up, I wanted to make sure that people were on time, and we were scheduling meetings and having really good conversation about making sure that they understood what's expected of them, what they have an opportunity to bring to the table. So when we get into the installation phase, that, you know, we're going to talk about how we want people to travel through the space. How do you want your work to be seen? Where do you want it to be located? Who's going to be surrounded next, or whose work's going to be next to yours? Those things are, you know, you don't get the opportunity to do that very often. And so I felt that that this was a good opportunity for students to have a real, I don't know, maybe a new experience, or to be asked their opinion about how their work looks or how their work should be seen. So I felt that was very important to give them as much control as they wanted to take.
Now, remember, Carissa, your work is going to be across that ceiling in that room. Is there going to be other sculpture underneath your...
Yes, the room is going to have some shelves, some pedestal pieces against the walls, and probably some other pieces out on the floor, either on pedestals or just space on the floor. We, you know, the long evening of the installation is when it's really going to get mapped out in full form. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of shared space.
Yeah, because I'm saying, and when you talk about pieces that are next to each other, well, then in your case, Carissa, the ones that are going to be underneath your installation, depending on what it is, it's going to have a different kind of connection with what is above it. I mean, to the eye of the viewer. Mm-hmm. Now, are these works going to be there for some time, or just on that one night?
The show runs, it opens on May 12th, which is the Arts Arcata event. I think it's like 6 to 9 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then it runs through the end of June. So we'll have the June Arts Alive, Arts Arcata as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the sanctuary is open every Saturday from 12 to 6. And so the public can come and see the sculptures during that time.
Now, is Ben your teacher at CR?
Yeah, he has been for the semester, but...
For the semester.
I guess we have one more class.
One more
critique.
Yep.
Yeah. But you are not Cody's teacher, but you work with him in the lab at HSU.
That's correct, yep.
Okay, so two different instructive experiences.
Correct, yep.
That you have with each of them. Well, you, as a teacher of art, what is your approach?
My approach in the classroom, I feel, is to connect with the students. I feel that they are here for a reason, and they want to have a connection with the person that's teaching them. So I really go out of my way to make sure that they have the best possible experience in the classroom. It's really important for me that these youngins have every opportunity they want.
And is sculpture for both of you, Cody and Carissa, is sculpture your exclusive, or do you also do other types of art making, Carissa?
I do other types of art making, but sculptures, what I love about sculpture is that it doesn't define the materials. You can say sculpture and people accept that as a one-word answer, but it really can mean such a range of things. And I'm interested in having an answer to give someone, but also giving myself room for growth and creativity within that.
And Cody?
Going off of that, I'd say it mainly is sculpture. I mean, I do jewelry, ceramics, but it's all 3D forms. It's all 3D stuff. So it's basically all sculpture in a sense. I do some 2D stuff, but...
Why do you prefer sculpture? Or 3D?
I don't know. I started out, like my career as an artist did start out with photography and printmaking. And then I took my first ceramic class, and then it was just a whole other realm of like creating 3D instead of just like a 2D, not taking away from 2D at all, but just, it's just, for me, it's just a whole other experience. Like creating forms is, I just love creating 3D stuff, anything that's three-dimensional.
I'm going to go back to that last question because I don't feel like I answered it fully. I felt I got a little bit caught in my own head.
Well,
you can edit all that other stuff
and
out.
And make this answer really good so that this will be the way we wrap things up.
For sure.
No pressure.
No pressure, right? My approach in the classroom, I feel like it goes back to when I was a kid. My grandfather was a woodworker and took time in his out of his life to teach me how to do things in the shop and in the studio. And when I was an undergrad at Columbia College in Chicago, I was really invested into my own education. I worked tirelessly day after day for four or five years. And when I graduated, I really had no idea what was in store for me. The future was really unknown. And I had an opportunity that came my way where I took a position working for a sculptor in Chicago. And working with him, I learned more in 1 month than I did in 5 years of school. It was that type of mind-expanding experience. My technical ability increased. My ability to communicate ideas increased, and if it wasn't for people like my grandfather and Miklos, who is the gentleman I worked for, who I'm still very close with, I wouldn't be here. And those two people taught me how to teach other people. And so a lot of the way that I approach the students in the classroom now is the same way that they approached helping me. Which was very unselfish, and they gave everything to make my life better.
Working with you, not teaching at you.
Correct, yeah. And I think these two could probably attest to that I go out of my way to help all the time.
Definitely. I think my first day in the sculpture lab, I asked Ben about some woodworking stuff, and he showed me every piece of equipment that first day, like the safe way to handle all this stuff. And then it was just like, now you can create whatever you want with all this stuff here. And it was like, oh, this is the kind of teacher that I'm dealing with. And it's been awesome, like not holding any information back.
Yeah, the really exciting thing about teaching, and this kind of goes into what sculpture is that it's hard to define, that there's so many materials that you can use in this visual language. So you have to be a little bit, in tune with all of it. And what's really exciting for me is seeing students that are willing to work with things they've never tried before. And they're inquisitive and trying to get answers, and they don't know, and they're, and I'm just, whatever you guys need, I got your back. We can do this. That's what's really exciting for me. And having good students and great students is, man, that's the best job in the world.
Benjamin Funke, art lecturer at CR and HSU Sculpture Lab technician. He's also a participant in Subjective Realities, as are my other two guests today, Cody Barnes and Carissa Clark. Subjective Realities, a group exhibit of sculptural works on display at the Sanctuary, 13th and J Streets in Arcata. The exhibit opens this Friday during Arts Arcata, 6 to 9 p.m., and the show will be on display through June. Additionally, the Sanctuary is open every Saturday from noon to 6. For more information on this exhibit or on other programs and events at the Sanctuary, you can phone 822-0898, or you can visit sanctuaryarcata.org. Art Waves is a production of KHSU at Humboldt State University. I'm Wendy Butler, producer, engineer, and host of this program, which you can listen to in a number of ways. On our regular broadcasts each Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. or real-time and archived programs at our website, khsu.org, or you can download a podcast of Art Waves from iTunes. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Supported diverse public radio for the North Coast of California and the South Coast of Oregon. This is KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. You can also hear KHSU in Willow Creek at 99.9 FM on translator K260BQ and in Ferndale at 88.7 on translator K204GA. Donors to KHSU include Eureka's Black Fawn Gallery. For May, the gallery is showing the work of celebrated abstract painters Natalie Craig and Marcel Verder. Learn more at blackfawnart.com. The gallery is also on Facebook. And donors to KHSU include Six Rivers Optical, offering a large selection of eyewear, sunglasses, and contact lenses. Same-day services available for prescriptions in stock. Six Rivers Optical, celebrating over 36 years of keeping life in focus. Open Monday through Saturday on Harrison Avenue next to Lima's Pharmacy in Eureka. Info at sixriversoptical.com. Coming up at 2 o'clock in 17 seconds, it'll be How to Breathe Underwater. Stay tuned. The time has come. It is How to Breathe Underwater. It is Pandemonium Jones. I'm going to press play.